Now let's continue on. Aren't you glad that you are not struck dead the instant you sin? Yes. Why does not God do that? Because you already have the law of death within you, and perhaps as you exercise your choices, you may repent. Now, sometimes it may take you a while to come to repentance. So let's see, let's come back here to Romans again. Let's see how God has done it. Through Christ. Romans, the third chapter. Romans 3. He talks about all the sins. You can read the first part of it. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Everyone. No one is exempt. Okay? So then, I'm not going to get into a detailed discussion of the difficult things to understand here in chapter 3, but the righteousness of God means his justification. Justification comes upon repentance, which God leads you to do, and the sacrifice of Christ and his shed blood applied to you individually. Verse 23. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, but are being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has openly manifested to be a propitiation through faith in his blood in order to demonstrate his righteousness or justification in respect to the remission of sins that are past. And all sin is past. Because the instant you commit it, it becomes a past sin. Now then, he shows that it's not by works, and he shows that God is a God of the Jews, God of the Gentiles, and you're not abolishing law. Now let's come to chapter 6. Chapter 6, then, is about baptism. So, that's why Jesus came and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he was the representative of the kingdom of God. That's why Peter preached, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the receiving the Holy Spirit is the key for how we overcome sin. So, chapter 6 becomes important. We don't continue in sin that grace may abound. He said, no, because when you're baptized, okay, you are baptized into his death, verse 3. God applies the death of Christ to your life as payment for your sins. And we are buried with him through baptism, and you, this is a symbolic death. You die. You're telling God, yes, I'm going to die in this watery grave. For what purpose? Now your life is going to change. You're going to come up out of that grave, okay? And we're to walk in newness of life, okay? That's what it's all about, okay? Now then, let's come over here. We died together in verse 8. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has any dominion over him. For when he died unto sin once for all. But in that he lives unto God. In the same way, now here is how we are to live after we are baptized. Because God forgives all your sins, okay? Then we will see he gives you his Spirit to give you enough strength to begin to overcome the sin within. But here's how we are to look at our lives. Verse 11. In the same way also, you should indeed reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now notice verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin rule in your mortal body by obeying it in the lust thereof. What does this tell us? You still have the law of sin and death within you, correct? You have been delivered from it. How? Not by removing it, but by having been given the Holy Spirit to overcome it. Do not let sin rule in your mortal body by obeying it in the lust thereof. Just put in your notes there, James, the first chapter, how all of that comes about. Likewise, do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Don't be giving in to sin. Yeah. Sin will come easy. God still does not come and destroy you, but he will convict you in your mind and heart, so that you will repent, because God wants you actively involved in overcoming sin within your life, within and without. Rather, yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not rule over you, because you are not under law, but under grace. You are under grace because you received the Holy Spirit of God. Come over here to chapter 7 and verse 1. Are you ignorant, brethren, for I'm speaking to those who know law, that the law rules over a man as long a time as he lives? Everybody in the world is under law. And law judges automatically all the time. All the time. Whether known or unknown, it judges you interior in your mind, exterior to the world. But under grace. Grace means you now have access to God so that you can repent if and when you sin. And you have a direct relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. The rest of the world does not. They don't know anything about it. There may be some people trying to quit this and that and the other, but they're not trying to overcome the sin within through the Spirit of God so that they can develop the character of God and the mind of Christ, you see? So don't let it rule over you. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace may it never be? Verse 16, don't you realize that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, you are servants of the one you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? See? There's still that law of sin and death working within us, but having the Spirit of God, we have the circumcision of the heart. I'll explain that in just a bit. Verse 17. But thanks be to God that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine that was delivered to you. Okay? Now then, we are not to get all involved in sin again. Let's see that. Okay? Sin shall not rule over you. Doesn't say you won't sin. Okay? Come here to chapter 7. Chapter 7. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. For I was once alive without law. That means the knowledge of the law. But after the commandment came, that is, came to his understanding, sin revived and I died. How did he die? Well, that's the last thing that Paul wrote. Verse 9, he died. No, he died how? In baptism. And after he received the Holy Spirit of God, what happened? And the commandment, verse 10, which was meant to result in life, I found to be unto death for me. because sin, having taken opportunity by the commandment, deceived me, and it killed me. Therefore, the law is indeed holy, and the commandment holy and righteous and good. What then? See, you find out about the law. You find out about the commandment, see? Did that which was good become death to me? May it never be. But sin, this is why you have the law of sin and death within you. So when the knowledge of the truth comes, but sin, in order that it might truly be exposed as sin in me, by that which is good was working out death, so that by the means of the commandment sin might become exceedingly sinful. Lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, all of those things, idolatry, taking God's name in vain, all of the Ten Commandments. See, we are not under law as the world is. We are within law, and now to give us the strength to overcome sin and to recognize it when it comes within, God has done this. Okay, let's come to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10. Let's pick it up here in verse 14. Hebrews 10 and verse 14. For by one offering he has obtained eternal perfection for those who are sanctified. Now, perfection is a process, not instantaneous. For those who are sanctified. We've been sanctified because we received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he had previously said, this is the covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts, and I will inscribe them in their minds. Okay? Now, that is an amazing thing, isn't it? How is it written there? By study, by prayer, by repentance, by God's Spirit. That's why when you sin, you recognize it as sin. Whereas before you knew God, repented and baptized, had the Spirit of God, you didn't know it was sin. Now, you may have thought, well, it's bad. May have thought I shouldn't do it, just like a thief. When he first starts stealing, boy, the first time he steals, it probably, hey, but I got away with that, okay? And then the next time he steals, got away with it. And the next time he steals, gets away with it. Now, I like that program on American Heroes Channel. I almost got away with it. So what happens? When Satan gives you a benefit, stealing, and you have all this loot, you got a benefit, right? You steal $10,000, you got $10,000 to spend. You think that's a benefit. And you succeeded in that. Now what happens when you spend it all? And you're still not caught. You're going to go apply for a job? And put on your application, what have you done? Well, I just robbed a bank for $10,000. They're not going to give you a job. Okay? So what do you have to do? Since you haven't repented, you haven't forsaken it, you go steal again. And this time you really hit the jackpot. You come up with $27,000. And you think, boy, you're really getting away with this. But all the time, the police are working and catching up with you. And I remember watching the one where there were off-duty policemen who were robbing banks. And they finally, and there's one scripture which says very clearly, be sure your sins will find you out. That means they will be exposed. Okay? That's why you need the commandments written in your heart and your mind, so you know what is right, you know what is wrong, and God has given you now the spiritual standard required to keep those laws, and has given you the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's come here to Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians, the second chapter. Let's begin here in verse 11. Colossians 2 and verse 11. No, let's go back to verse 10. And you are complete in him, that's Christ, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom you have also been circumcised with a circumcision not made by hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh through the circumcision of Christ. That is the circumcision of the heart. Okay? Now, that is not a heart transplant. There's a difference, okay? If you understand about physical circumcision with men, okay? Doesn't remove everything, just part of it. So what this does, this takes away part of your human nature, and you are to grow in grace and knowledge to have it replaced with love and truth and character, and the laws and commandments of God. Okay? Let's go on. Into putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, Romans 6. That's how you receive the circumcision of the heart. Baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit, by which you have also been raised with him through the inner workings of God, who has raised him from the dead. Okay? For you, who were once dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has now made alive with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. He blotted out the note of debt against us with the decrees of our sins, which was contrary to us. He has taken it away, and having nailed it to his cross. That's forgiveness, circumcision of the heart, receiving of the Holy Spirit of God. Now then, turn a couple of pages back to Ephesians, the first chapter. Okay? When we receive the Spirit of God, it is a begettal. It is not a transformation to make you a spirit being instantly, because God wants us to overcome the sin within. That's why with the circumcision of the heart and the mind, you're going to remember some of the things in the past, not that God has failed to forgive you. He has forgiven you, but that's like a history lesson written within. Ooh, how stupid was that? I'm not going to do that. See? Now, you won't think of it all the time, but there will be times when that will come. And that is so that you can use the Spirit of God to overcome. See? The washing, the cleansing within. Just like David prayed. Wash me thoroughly from my sin. See? So it's a process. All right? Now then, let's pick it up here in verse 13 concerning Christ, in whom you also trusted after hearing the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now then, that is the circumcision of the heart and mind, which is the earnest. Now, the earnest is the down payment, very much likened to this. When a new life is begotten in the womb of the mother by the father, it's not ready for birth for how long? 9 months. It's got to grow. It's got to develop. Everything has to be in place. Well, just like with us. Once we receive the begettal of the Holy Spirit, we are to grow in knowledge. We are to grow in grace. We are to grow in repentance. And we can look back and see the things that we repented of maybe a long time ago, and we've had a flashback to that, and we think, oh, how rotten and terrible that really was. Well, then you grow in deeper repentance. That's why we repent every day. And as you go along, you will be able to, in fighting the battle against the carnal mind within, by repenting when it first comes up as a thought. That's what God wants us to do. See? Just like the Sabbath. If one Sabbath made you perfect, bang, let's go to Sabbath services. Yep, bang. Going to be quite an experience. You're going to be changed from flesh to spirit. You're going to rise up in the air. You're going to be perfect. See? No. We need the Sabbath. We need the Bible. We need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need to see how sinful really sin is, exactly as Paul said. When the commandment came, that means when he was baptized and received the Holy Spirit of God, and God began writing the commandments within his heart and in his mind, he began to see how awful his life really was, especially persecuting the Christians. He was forgiven of that, but he never forgot it, just like us. There are certain sins that you have forgotten completely. There are other sins that come back and haunt you. Why is that? Because you only have the earnest. A circumcision is the beginning, not the perfection. Perfection comes day by day, some cases hour by hour, minute by minute, depending what your circumstances are, and you grow in grace and knowledge, and you overcome. And you are able then to focus on what God wants. That's why thoughts will come into your mind that you don't want, because the law of sin is still there. So what do? Repent of it and ask God to help you. Have you ever had an obsessive thought come? Like a song? Like a stupid song? You know? You've had that happen. Especially from a commercial. Now, the commercials, all the commercials are the most deceptive of all. Everybody's happy. Everybody's doing good. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Take this medicine, it'll kill you, but you'll smile to your grave. Okay. Now then. Okay. You've received the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 13, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. It's like the layaway plan, right? Yes. To the praise of his glory. Now let's come back to Romans, the 7th chapter. Romans 7. Paul had to fight sin. Now, he's got many occasions there in 2 Corinthians where he reminds, and 1 and 2 Timothy, where he reminds everybody of what he was before he was called. Now, think about Paul. Number one enemy of the church. Number one handyman of the high priest. Going out persecuting, killing Christians. We covered that last time. God knocked him down. Boy, he had a change of attitude right quickly, right? Okay. All right. Now let's come back here to Romans 7. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. We'll repeat this again. Because sin, having taken opportunity by the commandment, because where there is no law, there is no sin. Okay. Deceived me, and by it killed me. You think that if you do something that'll be a benefit for you, even though it is a sin, you're going to get away with it. But he didn't. Killed him. Therefore, the law is indeed holy, That's not what the Protestants say. They say Jesus did away with the law. Proof they don't have the Spirit of God. Now, they may have some understanding of some things. Do you think God, who created everything that there is to run by laws that he created, is going to do away with those? Just because sin is sin, is God going to come along and say, oh, now, that's all right. You know, I've done away with the law, so anything you do is just fine now. Never happened. No. The law is indeed holy, and the commandment holy and righteous and good. Now then, did that which is good become death to me? May it never be. No, to show him that if he continued in transgressions, he would die. But sin, in order that it might be exposed as sin in me, within. That's why it says in Hebrews 12 that we need to keep looking to Jesus Christ, because we are so easily beset with sin. God knows we're going to sin, but he hasn't given us carte blanche to sin. He has given the vehicle through grace and prayer and repentance to be forgiven, so that you will be strengthened so you will not sin. See? That's a lifelong project. Okay? But sin, and that it might truly be exposed as sin in me by that which is good, was working out death, so that by the means of the commandment sin might become exceedingly sinful. Isn't that what happened with David? Isn't that what happened with you? Isn't that what happens with everyone that God calls? Yes, you begin to see the sin. You're lying, you're cheating, your deceitfulness, your wickedness, you know. Look, we're coming up on Christmas time. Here's a benefit from Satan. We can all have a good time. Yeah, well, let's stop at Halloween first. That's going to be tonight. Okay? Yes, all of the kiddies go out. Yes, introduce them to death. Introduce them to trick-or-treating. Introduce them to extortion. Now, there are a lot of people willing to be extorted, so they got piles of candy, and they come. So the kids get all this candy, and you go home. I remember when I went out, and I came back with a bag full of goodies and candies and cookies and everything like that. And boy, I put it out on my bed and looked at all of that. I thought, really, man, I got it made. See? So like the kids are going to do. They're going to gorge themselves on all the sweets. In 2 weeks, they're going to have flu epidemic at school. Okay? Satan gives you a benefit. You don't think that's sin? When my mom took me out trick-or-treating, I didn't say, no, Mom, I'm not going. That's sin. She gave me a bag, said, let's go fill it up. I said, fine. See? Yes. Okay, now, Satan, how does he work? Incrementalism, a little bit at a time, right? You're going to see this year beginning of an onslaught of Satan to deceive the whole world into greater occult experiences. And Halloween is becoming an adult thing. And adults are spending as much or more on Halloween than they do on Christmas. And it is the first holiday of the year, like I wrote in my letter, that celebrates death and all the gruesomeness that goes with it and everything else that takes place. Okay? Might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, having been sold as a slave under sin. Bring that out with anyone. Till a thief stops stealing. Oh, well, I know how to do it. They had one, I remember watching this one program, that what the police finally did, they conceded to the greatest jewel thief in the United States. He would come into the high-priced, expensive hotels and steal the jewels from the top-paying customers that would come in there And they never could catch him. Never could catch him. So finally, they caught him. But they said, all right, if you tell us how you do this, we'll strike a deal with you and not put you in prison, but you better never steal anymore. So he said, thank you. Told him how he did it. But see, every time he stole, that was the benefit. That's how Satan works. But somebody always suffers. Carnal, having been sold as a slave under sin, because what I'm working out myself. In other words, you're going to live your life by yourself without God. I do not know. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what the purpose of life is. For what I do not desire to do, this I do. Moreover, what I hate, this is what I do. And this is the struggle that now takes place once you have the Holy Spirit of God. You're tempted. You sin. You don't know why you do it. Were you perfect in temperament all this week? Was every word out of your mouth nothing but praise and glory to God? How about the thoughts in your mind? Were your thoughts only on God? Or were they on something else, and that something else was sin in your mind and went boop, 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 boop? Now what do you do? Well, that's why you have to have God's Spirit to repent and pray and ask God for strength. See? Yes. Okay. Said, what I hate, this is what I do. Now, verse 16. But if I am doing what I do not desire to do, I agree with the law that it is good. The law is still good. There's nothing wrong with it. See? So then, notice, key. I am no longer working it out myself. Rather, it is sin that is dwelling within me, because you still have the law of sin and death within you, and your deliverance comes from exercising the Holy Spirit to overcome. God wants our full-time active involvement in overcoming sin, in studying and learning righteousness, in learning how to do things God's way. Our full-time effort in life. That's what we're here to learn, see? So that's why God just doesn't say, oh, good, you repented. Whoop! Let's take the law of sin and death out of you. Going to live forever in the flesh? Never happen, see? Okay? Not going to happen. The sin is still there. That's why temptation comes along, right? Yes. That's why you lose your temper. That's why maybe you even swear. Or maybe you've quit swearing, but you got another word in place of it, so you use that word now because you're not swearing, but it still means the same thing, right? Okay. Do you perfectly love everyone? No. Do you have some people you don't care for? Yes. What are you going to do about that? How are you going to handle that? Those are all things that come along. What if when you get older? Oh, I'm 80 years old. I'm not 81 yet. 80 and a half. Not quite in a half. That's February 8th. Okay? And I remember things I did as a kid. Why do I remember that? Well, that's a reminder that you've been a sinner from day one. See? I remember. Boy, when I would lie, my mom sent me out, and, you know, there are hazelnut trees around where we live. And I had to pick my switch. And I would try bring in a little thicker one. That didn't sting as much. See? She'd say, go out and get a thin one. And then she'd go, whack, 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 you know, on my calves and everything, you know. Don't you lie again. Okay? And then I was rambunctious. 5 years old, hey, I'd walk 5 blocks down to the park and spend all day there. Play with the kids, come home. Where you been? Been down to the park. What'd you do? Well, swinging, sliding, doing all of this. Don't you know something may happen down there? No? Okay. Well, you stay home. So I went again. You stay home. I went again. All right, now I'm not going to sweat you for it. Here's the clock up on the mantle of the counter of the fireplace. Okay? Now you stand there with your arms up. Okay? First time, 15 minutes. Get him up! Get him up! Okay? So I got through the 15 minutes. Next day, gone again. Come back. All right. Half hour. Get him up! See? That went on until I got up to an hour. And so my mom finally surrendered and said, look, if you're going to go, let me pack a lunch for you. So I quit going. Okay? That's the sin within, right? Now, we can laugh at it because it's humorous, because it has to do when you're a kid, but just think of that behavior when you get older. Think of what it is when there's rebellion. Oh, I'm going to take the car and go out. You be careful. Drive carefully. Yep. So you crash it at 100 miles an hour and kill somebody. Okay? Sin within. Okay? You don't know what you're doing. For what I do not desire to do, this I do. Moreover, what I hate, this is the thing I do. Okay? That's what happens when you sin. You don't like it. God's Spirit convicts you, reminds you of it. So you can what? Repent. Repent. That's what God wants. We'll cover that here. Okay. So then he says, continuing with it, verse 18, because I fully understand that there is not dwelling within me, that is, within my fleshly being, any good. Where did we start? Matthew 19, there is none good but God, Jesus said to the young man, right? No good. For the desire to do good is present. We all intend. Well, my intentions were good. See? Within me. But how to work out that which is good, I do not find. Have you ever had it where you want to do something really nice and lovely for someone? And what happens? You have the best intentions possible, but it ends up in a fight, in an argument, and you just walk away angry and mad. I know that's never happened to you, has it? Okay. Question came up. Even within the church, is it okay that you love some people more than others? Yes, because Jesus loved John more than the other disciples, but he still loved them within the church. But because of personality differences or something, you're kind to them, you're good to them, you love them, but it's not necessarily a bosom buddy type of thing where, you know, it's huggy-kissy all the time, okay? And you better be careful about that. All right, let's go on. Verse 19, for the good that I desire to do, I'm not doing. But the evil that I do not desire to do, this I'm doing. And this is the pull of human nature. You have a thought come into your head, you know didn't come from God. Or you have a memory from the past, and that memory from the past is a history lesson. Just like you read in the Old Testament, all the history, see, just like we read about David, see, that's a history lesson. He's forgiven, God has forgotten it, he's going to be raised as king over Israel forever, see. God understands we're weak in the flesh. He's going to forgive when we repent. And it's not if we sin, because there's no if about it. You are going to. So it's when you sin. See? Now, maybe you'll be really inspired after this sermon today, and you're going to be really resolved that you're going to do better. You're going to be really resolved that you're going to sit down, have those nice little talks with yourself, and say, now, Fred, you know what you need to do. Yes. You know that you ought to do this. Yes. Are you going to do it? Yes. Why didn't you do it? Okay. That's how it works, see? All right. Now, this is why. Let's read on. Verse 20. For if I do that, what I do not desire to do, I'm no longer working it out myself, but sin that is dwelling within me. Why does God leave the law of sin and death within you? He leaves the law of sin in you so that you will learn to use the Holy Spirit to overcome, that you will learn that you can't overcome unless you repent. He doesn't know what sin you're going to do. You don't know what sin you're going to do. Now tomorrow, tell me what sin you're going to do at 11 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. You don't know. Neither does God, because there's free moral agency. Now maybe at 11 you won't sin, but maybe at 3 o'clock in the afternoon you will. Who knows? See, this is why prayer every day, led by the Spirit of God, to change and grow and overcome. See? So if you have a thought flash from the past, repent of it, get it out of your mind, ask God to clean your mind. Now, I see I'm running over time, so we will finish this here, and then we'll talk about the washing of the water of the Word, how you're going to get your mind cleaned up. Now, think of all the garbage that is in there. See? I mean, there's a lot of garbage in the brain. Everything you've ever done is still recorded there somewhere, right? Yes. They know with brain surgery, you can touch a certain place in the brain, and they can smell smells while they're under surgery. See? But it's recorded there. See? And so conversion of the mind becomes the important thing. And the truth is, we'll just project ahead. None of us will be perfect until the resurrection. Just like when you're begotten, you cannot be born. You can never, in the flesh, be totally perfect. You are in the process of being perfected spiritually. So at the resurrection, God will finish that perfection. See? Then you shed everything. You leave everything behind. Okay? Let's finish this chapter, because that brings us to chapter 8 where we began. Okay? Sin dwelling within me. Verse 21, consequently, I find this law in my members, that when I desire to do good, evil is present with me. I'll let you think on that. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. You're not trying to resist against the laws of God. You're not trying to go out and sin, but sin is there and it pops up and goes, boop. Okay? Delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law within my members warring against the law of my mind and leading me captive to the law of sin which is within my members. The law of sin is still there. Stop and think for a minute. Suppose you could be perfect in the flesh. Would you not go around and look at other people in their sins and just condemn them up and down one way and the other? I mean, think of the arrogance it would be if that were possible. Someone does something, well, you know, that was the problem with Job. Maybe I ought to follow this up with a series on Job. I've done some in the past, but I've read the transcripts here recently, and it's not sufficient. See, that's what Job did. I'm so good, God has got to come down here, and I need an umpire or a judge. I'm going to take God to court so he can know how good I am. Okay, well, God took him to court, and he found out he wasn't so good. All right, now then, here is what happens, verse 24. You begin to see how sinful sin is, as he said, O wretched man I am. What a wretched man I am. Who shall save me from the body of this death? I thank God for his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this, on the one hand, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but on the other hand, with the flesh, the law of sin. That is, when you sin, because it's still within you. All right, we'll continue next time. Went over a little time here, but I ask your forgiveness for the transgression. No. For our overseas offices, please check our website www.cbcg.org.